This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. They seemed like unrelated stories this week. The U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York is suddenly fired.
Jeffrey Berman, the powerful U.S. attorney in Manhattan who had investigated many Trump associates, has been fired.
A Trump appointee heads to the Voice of America and cleans house.
PAC's first step was to force out Amanda Bennett, a winner of 2 Pulitzer Prizes as the top editor at VOA. Then within 48 hours, he fired all the network heads and their advisory boards. Is this part of President Trump's plan to gain control over an independent and federally funded media organization?
And a Justice Department lawyer testifies in Congress about Attorney General Bill Barr's meddling in the Roger Stone sentencing.
I was repeatedly told the department's actions were not based on the law or the facts, but rather on political considerations, Mr. Stone's political relationships, and that the acting U.S. attorney was afraid of the president. Roger Stone was treated differently because of politics.
These nominally disparate events are essentially the same story, the ongoing tale of efforts by the Trump administration to undermine, rig, or simply nullify the mechanisms designed to hold it and every administration accountable for its actions. Consider the serial removals of agency inspectors general.
Trump has removed at least 4 watchdogs in the past 6 weeks, including Health and Human Services watchdog Christy Grimm, after her office reported shortages in testing and personal protective equipment at hospitals.
President Trump replaced acting Pentagon Inspector General Glenn Fine on Monday night, a move that removes Fine as the top watchdog for the COVID-19 emergency stimulus program.
CBS News has learned that Steve Linnick, the Inspector General of the State Department, was dismissed after starting an investigation into Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
Appointed specifically to root out misconduct within their agencies, such watchdogs were cashiered while investigating variously the Ukraine political extortion affair, a fishy fast-tracked arms deal with the Saudis, and the allegation that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was using federal employees for personal errands. At Health and Human Services, Christy Grimm's fate was sealed when a reporter confronted Trump with Grimm's report of COVID equipment and supply shortages.
And the number one complaint from those hospitals were severe shortages of testing supplies and a week or longer.
And did I hear the word inspector general? Really? It's wrong. And they'll talk to you about it. It's wrong.
Your own government.
The administration has also dealt harshly with whistleblowers and law enforcement daring to question his activities.
The White House today doubling down on President Trump's claim that Republicans who oppose him are, quote, human scum. Hear, hear, Mr. President.
The top of the FBI was scum. And what they did to General Flynn, and you know it, and everybody knows it, was a disgrace.
Or simply those who furnished testimony damaging to the president, such as Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who witnessed the perfect call with the Ukrainian president.
Well, I'm not happy with him. You think I'm supposed to be happy with him? I'm not.
Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who testified in the impeachment inquiry into President Trump, was fired from his White House job and marched off the White House grounds today.
From Vindman to Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch to James Comey, administration officials who offend the president by performing their duties independent of politics are quickly punished. Meantime, Trump aide Michael Flynn gets his charges dropped after pleading guilty, and Trump allies Joe Arpaio, Dinesh D'Souza, and media baron Conrad Black, among other pals and convenient political props, get their court convictions overturned by presidential commutations or pardons. This includes right-wing activist convicts Dwight and Steve Hammond and a number of war criminals.
President Trump is pardoning two cattle ranchers convicted of arson in a case that gained national attention and triggered the armed occupation of the National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon.
Earlier this year, Army First Lieutenant Michael Baheno was pardoned by Donald Trump. He was convicted by a military jury for driving an unarmed Iraqi prisoner into the desert, stripping him naked, and shooting him in the head and chest.
And then, when it comes to the dismantling of the accountability state, there is the big daddy of them all, a U.S. Senate faced with its most solemn constitutional oversight role, declining its prerogative to call witnesses in the president's impeachment.
I don't need any witnesses at all.
Okay, and then
I am ready to go. My goal is to end this as soon as possible for the good of the country.
They haven't drained the swamp. They've just paved it over to construct a theme park called Impunity Land. According to Liz Hempowitz, director of public policy at the Project on Government Oversight, even more troubling than the removals of the inspectors general at Defense and HHS is who the president is appointing as temporary inspectors general elsewhere.
The president made the decision to replace both the State Department Inspector General and the Department of Transportation Inspector General with individuals that will simultaneously continue their other roles at the agency in their political appointment positions. It's a huge conflict of interest, but it's also incredibly damaging for the ability of inspectors general to work with whistleblowers. No whistleblower in the federal government is safe coming forward to an inspectors general office if the threat looms over that the president can immediately remove the person leading that office and replace them with a purely political actor.
Can you tell me, please, about Dr. Rick Bright?
Dr. Bright was within the Department of Health and Human Services, and he raised concerns internally about how decision makers and scientists leading research into treatments and vaccines for the coronavirus were ignoring science, really to kind of placate the president's ego, and were pushing hydroxychloroquine as a treatment for the coronavirus. After Dr. Bright raised those concerns internally, he was reassigned to another role, which he saw as diminishing his ability to impact the government response here. And so in addition to raising those concerns, he's also filed a complaint with the Office of Special Counsel claiming that he was retaliated against as a whistleblower for exercising his not only legal right to blow the whistle, but really moral responsibility.
If you were to ask me, I would say that the most brazen display of the systematic dismantling of the oversight infrastructure would be with congressional oversight. When Congress passed the CARES Act, dedicating $1 trillion to the pandemic fight, it included explicit accountability mechanisms for the administration to follow. And Trump said, nah, we're not going to do that. Do I have that right?
You do have that right. He used something called a signing statement, which I would say does not have the force of law, but it does give an indication to where the president's mind is. And his signing statement explicitly singled out a few of those oversight mechanisms built into the law. And he basically said, you know, to the extent that I disagree with the law that I just signed, I'm not going to follow it. That, again, should be incredibly concerning to people, regardless of their political persuasion. These were oversight mechanisms that were negotiated in good faith with the Congress and with representatives of the administration. The president, yes, is an elected individual, but is tasked with the faithful execution of the laws passed by Congress. And, you know, the president is obstructing congressional oversight left and right, meaning Congress has less information to legislate.
Not only is Congress unable to track how the hundreds of billions of dollars from the CARES Act are being spent, the agencies themselves are not keeping track because the administration told them not to. Do I have that right?
Yeah. Recipients are required under the law to report how many jobs they're able to save or create based on whatever federal funding they receive in response to coronavirus. But a few weeks after the CARES Act was signed into law, the Office of Management and Budget, which is within the White House, issued guidance that told agencies that they didn't need to create any new reporting structures for recipients to meet their reporting requirements under the law. The problem there is that existing reporting mechanisms don't get at the information that Congress explicitly said it wanted to see from those recipients. If you think about the fact that one of the major impacts that the coronavirus has had on our country is large-scale job loss and unemployment, and without that data being collected by agencies, inspectors general are not going to have it to look at, and Congress isn't going to have that data to look at to see if the programs that we've passed and are funded by taxpayer dollars are even effective, never mind whether they're going to the right people in the first place.
And then we get to the final major mechanism for executive accountability, the Freedom of Information Act, which permits the public and the press to file requests for documents, data, correspondence, and so on from relevant federal agencies, which, of course, agencies can refuse, not respond to, redact, slow roll. What kinds of information has Trump succeeded in keeping from the public during the pandemic?
We at the Project on Government Oversight recently submitted a FOIA request to the Small Business Administration asking for information about the Paycheck Protection Program loans that the agency has issued. Now, that loan program has over $600 billion in it. But Secretary Mnuchin decided that that information would be proprietary and confidential. Now, that just doesn't make sense because, you know, the SBA has been able to release all that information dating back to 1991 for very similar loans. But also, the loan application itself, when a small business applies for a PPP loan, includes a disclaimer that information collected on that loan application will be automatically released to the public under the Freedom of Information Act. This is exactly the kind of information that FOIA is built to get out of government and into the public hands. And journalists have played such a crucial role in uncovering some of the more scandalous loans given by the PPP program, you know, like the $4 million to the Lakers, despite the fact that they're the most profitable basketball team in the NBA. Journalists are the ones that have been uncovering those examples.
All right. So your job is to be in oversight of oversight.
That's right.
And I wonder if there is any form of oversight that the Trump administration has not, you know, impinged or purged. Is there anything left?
Yeah, it's a tough question to answer. But I think even these individual kind of pillars of oversight, as we talk about them, they interact with each other. And so the effect of kind of attacking all of them at the same time poses an exponential problem for accountability and transparency here in a way that I think we don't often think about as we look at one-off instances of undermining those accountability mechanisms and systems within the government.
Liz, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Liz Hempowitz is Director of Public Policy at the Project on Government Oversight.
Coming up, why were reporters so quick to swallow the milkshake story?
This is On the Media.